Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Hey, Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for, Lord God, just the songs that we've sung. And Lord, just the message that we've already heard through not only worship, but through the announcements, through what Peter shared. And Lord God, it is all about you. It's all about, Father, people coming to know you, people walking and enjoying the fullness of what you have. And Lord, as we saw in that video of Jonah, it's about loving not only our neighbours, but Lord God, ourselves and how you see us. So have your way, we pray, in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. This morning, I'm going to be really quick if I can, Pete. This morning is the first week in a series of 9 messages, which we've titled, This is Living Now. Over the next 9 weeks, different speakers will address the foundational truths that make up our Christian walk, with the specific focus being, this is living now. You know my favourite scripture. I say it all the time. Even Pete says it, which is great. The thief comes only in order to steal, to kill and destroy. But I have come that they might may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. And one of the things that I'm passionate about is helping and seeing people enjoying life to the full. One of the things that just distresses me so much is seeing people who should have life to the full not enjoying what they have. You know, our Christian walk is not much different to one of these newfangled U-Boot gizmos. How many people use every aspect of their device or their television or their computer or whatever? I'm sure the answer is not all of us. In fact, I know for myself that I use just the things I know how to use on this thing. Yet there's so much more. So much more being designed into that thing for me to use, for me to get the benefit out. Now that we have the basic functions covered, it's time to read the manual again. And I say that about our Christian walk. By the way, Dave Stewart, you have the bowling trophy. 286 you got last year. I want the trophy back next week. Signed, sealed, delivered, polished. Okay? Just saw your face there. You see, with this device, if I went and started to read the manual again, now that I know how to use a little bit of it, I would learn more and more and make the most out of what's been designed in it. It's the same with our Christian faith. Even though we know a little bit, the more we dig back into the foundational truths, the more we dig back into the things that we already are using, the more we're going to see that God has got more and more for us. So as we walk through these foundational truths over the next 9 weeks, don't turn off. Don't say, well, I'm not coming. I know all about baptism. I know all about this. I know all about that. Come and ask yourself, God, what is it that you want me to learn today? What is it that you want me to enjoy today? What is it that you have for me that I can enjoy more than what I'm enjoying? Doesn't matter how many times you've read the Bible. It doesn't matter how many times you've looked at these subjects. You're no different to me. The more I read the Bible, the more I read the same passages, the more God reveals things to me. Because his word is a living word. You can read Psalm 23 every day. And I guarantee you, every day God will show you something different. Because it's a living word. So as we go through these sessions, I can tell you now, as Pastor Oxy would say, we're only going to be able to look at mountaintops, and today will be even more like that because of everything we've got to do. So I encourage you to go home, to dig into the word yourself, to look at the notes, pull them down off the website, podcast the messages and listen to them on the train or whatever. As we send out right now media emails, encourage you just to start looking. I don't know about you, but as I saw that video on Jonah, I thought, man, that'd be great to go to. Great to go to. Or if you can't go because you're busy on a Thursday night, then download it or get on to Right Now Media and start to watch it. Discuss what we talk about at your meal table so that your kids hear what we're talking about. Ask them questions. See what they know. So this week we start at the beginning by looking at the subject of salvation. Salvation embraces in its meaning words like safety, security, preservation, deliverance, and wholeness. To understand what salvation means, we have to know why we need saving. If we didn't need saving, we wouldn't need salvation. Or what are we being saved from? To find the answers to those questions, we've got to go right back into the book of Genesis. The first thing we need to be very clear on is that man was created in God's image. Every one of us in this room were created in God's image. And the Bible teaches us in John 1:3 and Colossians 1:16 that God made all things. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. In Colossians 1:16, for through him God created everything in heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Everything was created through him and for him. As man was the only part of creation made in God's image, we can conclude that there is no doubt man was and is a vital and central part of God's creation. The Bible tells us that God spoke the rest of creation into existence. But with us, with man, God got involved. He got his hands dirty. It says in Genesis 2:7 that the Lord took the earth, he formed man, and then he breathed his life, his spirit into us. I can just imagine God getting the earth and forming it and shaping it and then putting it up to his mouth and like blowing up a balloon, breathing his life into his creation. So the first truth is to realize that right from creation, man was and man is precious to God. God's plan, right from the outset, was to have mankind his friend. And again, we could spend an awful lot of time just talking around that, just looking at that, understanding that. When Adam was created, he was placed in the Garden of Eden and was told to work at it, to take care of it. Adam was given freedom to eat from any tree in the garden, but he was told not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, as the result of eating from this tree would be death. And that death that is talked about there is both spiritual, that is, separation from God. Separation from God immediately, not in time, but if you touch that tree, you will immediately be separated from me. And then ultimately there would be a physical death in time. We know the story. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve disobeyed God's specific command, and they were banished from the Garden of Eden. Hey, Lige, come up here for a sec, mate. Come and help me. Can you climb up this ladder? Good man. Stand on there for me. Okay, so over here, don't fall. Over here we have God. And over here we have man. God breathed and made man. And at the beginning, God had a way. He wanted to work and walk with God. He wanted to work with man. Walk the cross. Don't fall. Keep walking. Stop. Turn around. Walk back. You see, don't fall. You see, that's the way that God planned it. That man and God could join together and have fellowship. But the minute they ate of that tree, hop down for a sec, jump, hold that, don't push the button. The minute, hop up on the ladder again, the minute they ate of that tree, we have a problem. Lige, just walk across. Nah, can't hop down. Just, nah, oh. That's it. Well done. You can go back to your seat. Banished. Man's sin meaning missed the mark, became the barrier that would separate them from God, their creator. In Genesis 3:8 it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So the man and his wife hid and kept themselves hidden from the presence of the Lord among the trees. Why? Because all of a sudden, the relationship that they had with their God before this fact had changed. Sin had entered in. Death had entered in. They'd missed the mark. They disobeyed their God. And so we get this little picture. A sinful man and a holy God. And that sin separating us from God. Not the way that God made it, not the way that God planned it. But that was the result of sin entering in. It was impossible and is impossible for man to pay the cost for sin and be able to come back into that relationship with God. Wouldn't matter how many good works we do. Wouldn't matter how religious we are. Wouldn't matter how good we live our lives. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. And we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And so it wouldn't matter if Lige was up here right now, it wouldn't matter how much he did. He could put a string across there. He could do anything he could. But it wouldn't help him join together with God the way God created. Every one of us were born into this world with sin. So we know the Bible tells us that no amount of human goodness, human works, human morality, religious activity can gain acceptance with God or get anyone into heaven. The moral man, the religious man, the immoral man, the non-religious man, we're all in the same boat. Everybody is in the same boat. Every one of us falls short of God's perfect righteousness. God is perfect righteousness. Habakkuk tells us that God cannot have fellowship with anyone who does not have perfect righteousness. To be accepted by God, we have to be as good as God is. And that's impossible. Because before God, every one of us stand naked, helpless, and hopeless in our sin. So we now have the picture of the problem and what caused it, i.e. why we need salvation. But we also have God's solution. See, God is not only perfectly holy, but he is perfect in his love, and he's perfect in his grace and his mercy. Because of his love, because of his grace, he didn't want to leave us without hope and without a solution. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So God, because of his great love, because of his great compassion, extended his undeserved favor, his grace, to man while he was yet a sinner. He did this by sending his son, Jesus himself, to die in man's place and to pay man's penalty for him. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved and dearly prized the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in and trusts in him as Saviour shall not perish but have eternal life." So if we come back to the plank again, Lige, I need your help again, mate. We now have the situation where you reckon you could do it higher?
No. Okay.
Stand up on your ladder again. Oh, no, come over this side. This is man over here. Okay, you're man, okay? Have a look at the picture. Sinful man. Okay? Look at the picture. Holy God. Okay? Look at the picture. The plank. Who's the plank?
Jesus.
Jesus is the plank. That's it. Jesus made the way for you, sinful man, to have fellowship with Holy God. Go and have a fellowship with Holy God. Good man. You see, it's easy, isn't it? That is that easy. If you want to have fellowship with God, all you got to do is walk the plank. Come back. Have faith that Jesus died. For God so loved the world. Let me read it to you again. For God so loved and dearly prized the world that he gave his only and begotten Son. And whoever perishes and trusts in him as Saviour shall not perish but have eternal life. You see, the plank is there. Come over here. The plank is there now. Jesus is there for everybody, for the whole world. Only thing that people have to do is put their trust in the plank. Trust in Jesus. You trust Jesus? You love him? Put your faith in him and go for a walk. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Come on. Thanks. Our Lord Jesus never sinned, but God treated him as a sinner so that Christ could make us acceptable to God. In short, make the way open for us. Christ opened the way for us to return to God. He became our bridge. This is God's amazing grace towards us, which we receive through faith. You see, it doesn't matter whether the bridge is there or not, it is there. Unless you have the faith and confidence to walk that plank, it makes no difference. Because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross, the Bible states that he that has the Son has life. We can receive the Son, Jesus Christ, as our Saviour by trusting in the person of Christ, by trusting in his death for our sins. And our release from the wages of sin comes when we believe and accept what Christ has done, what was done for us. I said at the start that the word salvation embraces in its meaning words like safety, security, preservation, deliverance, and wholeness. And as we talk about this is living now, this is what we're talking about. We know the words, but are we enjoying the benefit? Are we living it now? So let's come back to this theme. How are we outworking God's solution in our day-to-day living? Are we enjoying the fullness that God has for us? Through what Christ died or did for us in our salvation, we have pardon. That is total cleansing from forgiven sin. We have justification, the ability to be in right standing with God in his presence. We have regeneration, being born again into the family of God, being able to call God Father. We have assurance that we are secure in our relationship. You know, I know for me, being a Christian didn't mean that I knew that I had security and assurance. It took revelation. It took God's love to show me that I could be secure in him. Maybe there's some today that you need that assurance. Sanctification. How many times we say we're not good enough to do something, yet God has now set us apart for service, holy service. We're adopted into his family. I'm now an heir in God's family, a joint heir in God's family. Ephesians says, I have every spiritual blessing made available to me. It's no good having an inheritance if you don't start using it. And then we have glorification. Glorification brings us into the fullness of the glory of God and everything that that means. There's so many things in each of those things that we could look at and talk about. These are the things that I want you to go home and think about. Are you living in the fullness of what Christ has got for you? So for me, as I sat yesterday and thought about, well, how do I outwork? What is this is living now for me in salvation? How does it outwork in my life? How do I do it in a day-to-day basis? I think for me, My salvation is summed up in one picture, a picture of the tabernacle. The ability to come into God's presence boldly anytime I want. And you've heard me speak about it before, but this is the picture that sums up for me my salvation. That I can walk in and I can live in and I can enjoy the presence of God anytime. I don't have to stay in the outer court, but I can come to the brazen altar. Brazen altar, speaking of the cross where a sin offering was made for me. Where Christ sacrificed his life and where I can see that my sins are forgiven. I can come to the laver and I know that not only have I been forgiven, but I am cleansed. And man, that is a nice feeling. Then I walk into the holy place and I partake of the living bread. God's provision. Not just the word, not just the logos, but the living bread. Jesus is the bread of life. He feeds me. He gives me nutrients. I look across and see the candlestick and recognize that Jesus is the light of the world. But not only is Jesus the light of the world, light casts out darkness. And the darkness that I pick up in my day-to-day living, I allow Jesus just to shine in. Knowing that darkness can't hide where there's light. Then I come to the altar of incense. I love the altar of incense because this was a big one for me, to know that I had a friend in high places, a friend who intercedes on my behalf, a friend who knows me as I am, but a friend who sits on the right hand of God and says, "Hey, that's Graham. Remember, I died for him. Remember, he is forgiven. Remember, my blood cleanses him." Then I come to the veil, and that veil hasn't been sewn up in my eyes. That veil is rent, and I can now walk boldly through that gap. The veil, speaking of Jesus' flesh, the barrier being removed. A pathway that has been opened so that I can boldly enter into his presence. Every one of us can do that. Not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by the perfect sacrifice, Jesus himself. And then I come into the Ark of the Covenant, the place where Jesus' presence is, God's presence is, the mercy seat, the communion with God. And again, as you've heard me say many times, sometimes it's just to sit at his feet, sometimes to sit on his lap, sometimes there's discipline involved, but never any fear, because I know that God is there as a loving dad, beckoning me to come into his presence, because that's what his son did for us. He made a way possible that we can now commune with him like he meant for Adam and Eve to live. He took away sin. He took away the barrier. So in short, salvation, and this is living now, means that I can now come into God's presence anytime I want. Even in the state that I am. Because God looks at me through the eyes of his son and what his son has done. No more shame. No more guilt. No more fig leaf. Just the knowledge that God loves me and accepts me for who I am. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the salvation message. I thank you for the knowledge that you loved me. You loved mankind so much that you allowed your son to go to the cross to take that eternal punishment for my sin. That there would be a bridge again between man and you. Through your son. And Lord God, I know that not only am I not perfect, no one in this room is perfect, but you know that. And your word says that while we were yet sinners, your son died for us. You didn't put conditions. You didn't say you've got to do this before I do that, but that you loved us so much that you did it all. Lord God, everything has been paid for in full. And all we need to do now is accept it and walk in it. And so, God, I pray for each person in this room right now that for those that might not know you as their Saviour, Lord, I pray that you would reveal your love to them today. Father, for those that might have walked away or got involved in the world again and felt that that has created the barrier, Lord God, let them see the deceit of that lie, that the bridge is still there, and that all they have to do is what your word says, confess their sin, repent and turn away, and that, Lord God, you accept them back with open arms, as the Father did with the prodigal son. Then, Lord God, for those that are coming into your presence daily or living in your presence, Lord God, I pray that you would reveal more of what is available for them to live and to enjoy life to the full. And before you open your eyes, before you look up, if there's anyone here and you fit into any of those categories and you want to raise your hand and say, God, you're talking to me, I'm not going to ask you to come out the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to pray for you. I'd just like you to raise your hand if you're not saved and you want to get saved. If you have been saved and you've walked away and you want to come back. If you want to know more about how to enjoy life to the full, just raise your hands. Father, I just thank you for those that are raising their hands right now. And Lord God, even I'm not looking around. I just pray that you would touch them by your Spirit, that you'd move by your power, and that you'd minister into their lives today. And that, Lord God, as we continue to work our way through this Is Living Now series and look at foundational truths, that we would get to the end of week 9 and we'd be able to look back and say, God, tick, I'm doing that. Tick, I'm doing that. God, I thank you for what you're showing me in that. But we would continue to grow, and as we've already said, that we might live and enjoy life to the full as you intend us to. We give you thanks for Jesus now. Amen.